Thank you, Samira. The word of the Lord from Mark 4, 1 through 9. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold." And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." I really love the image that this story brings up. In my head, it's almost like a cartoon. This happy-go-lucky farmer walking along, throwing his seed with wild abandon. He's so hopeful for all the places his seeds might grow and bear fruit, even the places that the listener knows will not grow. Because even though you and I are not farmers, we know that this is not how things are done, right? A good sower knows where to plant the seeds and where to avoid. And if you seed the places that aren't likely to produce, you're just wasting your resources. Maybe what you hear in the story is a visual of the four soils. Did you hear which soil you are today as I read it? The path, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, the fertile soil. We know which one we want to be and which one we should be, but which one did you go to immediately? Or maybe you heard about productivity. I immediately want to know why the sower didn't sow all of his seeds in the fertile ground, where he would get a return of 30 or 60 or 100%. Those are really unbelievable yields. But much better productivity and time management if you plant just there, if you're asking me. In the parable, we get caught up in the seeds and the soil. We like to imagine where we fit into this story, and we are struck by the reality of what it means to be soil, good or otherwise. But maybe the parable isn't about seeds or soil. Jesus gives us a clue right at the beginning, because Jesus begins with, "Listen, a sower goes out to sow." Maybe this parable isn't about soil. Maybe it's about the sower. Not about us, but about Jesus. Jesus who sows in a way that we never expected. So let's keep reading the story. Mark 4, 10 to 12. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And Jesus said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." So Jesus has told this parable to a large crowd, but now the crowd has left. It's just Jesus in his inner circle. And Jesus tells them, "You have been given the secret to the kingdom of God. But to everyone else, this is just a parable, just another story. The outsiders can hear the story, but you can understand the story." you understand what I'm saying. Because this isn't just a story about a hopeful sower who isn't very good at his job, about his productivity, or even the kind of terrain that he's planting on. This is a story about Jesus. And here's what the disciples can grasp that the others can't. That Jesus is the embodiment of the mystery of the kingdom. Jesus is what is being taught in the Gospel of Mark in this very parable. The disciples have been given the secret to the kingdom of God because they know Jesus through stories like this one. They're learning about who Jesus is and in turn what the kingdom of God is. Jesus is the sower. And because of that, the kingdom of God might not look like what they thought it would. That they might need a new imagination to join Jesus in that work. I wonder what it would be like to hear this parable today in our time. After all, not many of us hold much experience with sowing or farming. So I wonder if it could sound something like this. Listen. A professor went to her classroom at the local university. She had prepared her lesson, taking all of the knowledge she had and adapting it for her students' learning, wisdom, and success. She was an excellent teacher and taught well to all of her classes, regardless of what kinds of reception the class gave her. As the professor taught, some of the lessons fell on deaf ears. Students were too busy playing games on their laptop or watching TikTok or sleeping through the class. They never had a chance to absorb the lessons. Some of the students appeared to be listening, but they didn't read the material or engage with it. They were only there because their parents told them that they had to be. When other more appealing options came up, they skipped class. Some of the students really wanted to listen and wanted to succeed, but they were distracted in class by their peers and were convinced to hang out at night instead of doing their homework. So the wisdom shared did not take root. But some of the lessons were heard by receptive students. These students listened, asked questions, and applied what they learned outside of the classroom, taking the opportunities made available to them to bring them success. If you have ears to hear, then listen. Or for our younger generations, maybe it would be the parable of the influencer. There was an influencer. She had millions of followers, every one of them waiting for her daily videos, where she would show her favorite new things, share daily affirmations, and encourage all of her followers to share in the lifestyle that she did. She prepared her videos and gave 100% every time. She had them ready to post multiple times a day, sharing her knowledge and success with all of her millions of followers. But some of her videos fell on deaf ears. These followers were doom-scrolling, sitting there, swiping through their phones, not really paying attention. They never had a chance to really absorb what the influencer was sharing. Some of the followers appeared to be listening, but they didn't engage with her information. When they found other influencers that they liked better, they stopped watching her videos. The videos fell out of their algorithm, and the followers stopped seeing her videos altogether. Some of the followers really wanted to listen and learn from the influencer, but they were busy. And even though they did watch the videos, they didn't take time to Google the products or write down any ideas. They just saved the videos for later, but that day never came, so they did not live by anything that the influencer shared. But some of the videos were seen by her top followers. These followers watched every video, ask questions, use the suggested products, and remembered the influencer's affirmations. They took every opportunity made available to them to bring success. So what do you hear? Let's read the last part of our scripture today, Mark 4:13-20. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. And as Jesus explains it, he doesn't dwell on the efficiency of the sower or ask the listener which type of soil they are. Jesus once again starts with the sower. The sower owns the field. The sower works the field. The sower has the seeds, and the sower plants the word. This parable is about a sowing God that does not do what we expect. A sower whose seeds end up everywhere. Because this is the good news that those closest to Jesus are now privy to. The kingdom of God is not what the disciples had been brought up to expect, not what they had been taught. Just like Jesus, this sower is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And now they know that God is willing to see the possibility in every soil, even the rocky, hard, shallow, thorny soils. That even though God knows that the seed might not grow in poor conditions, God scatters and plants the kingdom of God anyways, because of the possibility that it just might. And the disciples now know that God has declared all the soil, the rocky, the hard-packed, the thorny, and the fertile. All of them are acceptable for the kingdom of God. All of these soils are good enough to sow, good enough for the word of God to be scattered on. The good news is that God wants the word to be heard everywhere and anywhere. This parable shows a God who is determined to show God's creation that we are cherished and loved, imperfections and all. That God does not see us by the dirt in which we find ourselves or determined our worth by our fertileness. But instead, God sees us by unimaginable possibility that we can hold in the kingdom of God. The sower sows because the sower has decided to scatter the seeds. We have received God's love and grace because God has decided that we are God's beloved. And there is no amount of fruit that we can bear or fail to bear. No good works that we can do, and no sin that can separate us from God's love and mercy. So what does this mean for the Bering Dry family as we seek to be a ministering community? As a community, we emulate the sower. We sow freely. We sow generously. We sow with a willingness to see the possibilities of the kingdom of God that could be. Because there is no fear that we will run out of seed. The seeds are plentiful. We aren't called to judge which soil is best to sow in, who gets more seed than others. We sow in all the soils with the same abandon, because our success doesn't come from the seeds at all. Our success comes from our relationship with the sower, and our hope comes from the good news of the kingdom of God. I have been in ministry for 17 years now, and 15 of those have been right here. Sometimes sowing seems easy. I have shared the story of Jesus on fertile ground and have seen the kingdom of God grow in unimaginable ways. Other times, I have taught Jesus to someone who seemed interested, but they didn't dig in and grow roots, so it withered away after a time. And I have been called to share the good news of the kingdom of God on the path and the rocky ground. And lo and behold, every once in a while, sometimes a decade later, I learn that seed has survived and there's fruit. That the path is not too much for the kingdom of God, because sometimes a seed can sprout in unimaginable places. Once we throw the seed, we throw out any control that we have. What happens next is not up to us, and thank God for that. We share the kingdom of God everywhere we go, throwing the good news around to anyone who will hear it, to any soil that will catch seed. Because who are we to say where fruit can grow? The sower knowingly planted the seed, knowing that much of it will not be received. It will not grow fruit. And this is radical. This is dangerous because it wasn't what God's people wanted or expected. They wanted a revolution. They wanted Jesus to come and change it all in one fell swoop. But what else can we expect on Palm Sunday? A crowd expected a king in robes and authority charging in on a horse. But instead, Jesus arrived in his normal attire, riding a lowly donkey. It's not the fanfare that Israel wanted. It's not the power movement that they were looking for. Jesus didn't come for Israel, or at least not only God's chosen people. Jesus came for all, the tax collectors, the disabled, the outcast, the Gentiles, the eunuchs, even the Pharisees. The good news is that the sower will sow the seeds, that it doesn't look like what we expect. This is not a sower who chooses productivity or growth over all else, just a man sharing generously the good news with anyone who will hear it. And the good news is that today, Jesus has arrived, that it doesn't look like what we expect. Not a king arriving in power or ceremony, not a king coming to save Israel alone, just a man on a donkey, arriving for the salvation of anyone who will have him in their hearts. As we extend grace and love, may we remember the extravagance of the sower. As we share the good news, may we also not look like what the world expects. May we share generously with all in our path. Amen.